Laundry Show brought to you by PetSmart, where you'll find smarter solutions for healthier, happier pets.
And now, the Phil Hendry Show with Phil Hendry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
By the way, Art Bell is going to be on the show later to explain why he's retired. Bob, you were saying you have a restaurant that was targeted by a local investigative team, right?
Yeah, the Channel 19 investigative reporter, her name is Donna DeCruz. They came in, they did what they said was going to be just a review of our restaurant. They had some kind of a hidden camera. They recorded other of my patrons and my employees and had some very, very unflattering things to say about a restaurant that I have worked very, very hard to make a success. And I guess my point is these investigative reporters who come in and claim you're violating the health codes and claim that you're in violation of these health statutes care not for how hard we have worked. And I wanted you and your listeners to understand that they are being deceived. And I worked my ass off to make this.
All right, I understand you're angry. Donna DeCruz, for people who don't know, is with the Channel 19 News. At 10, she has an Up With People segment. She goes in and does investigative journalism.
I really think it's a misnomer to call it investigative journalism. I think that what she does is slander, attempts to slander businesses and attempts to misreport. And I had called the television station. I had called the general manager over there, Mr. Ronren, and he had said to me that it was out of his hands.
All right, well, a lot of these investigative reporters, they came into your business, this woman, and was taking some hidden video?
They sent out this DeCruz woman. They had two gentlemen with a camera. She does some interviewing. She was very nice. Her questions, I thought, were great.
And she was there why? Because she said she wanted to do a review?
She said she wanted to come and do a review of our restaurant, yes.
So then they came back?
And a week later, they came back. They set a television set up. They started showing me things that they had recorded. And it turns out they had hidden cameras. They had pictures of our kitchen. They had taken some of our food and tested it. And which, by the way, where a lot of that food was tested, I'm familiar with the... It is a medical facility, which I think is suspect. I'm a businessman, and I've worked my ass... You know, as I said, I've worked my ass off to build up this restaurant, and along comes this television news crew.
All right, let me read some of the things that Channel 19 took to the health department, and the health department cited you, didn't they?
You know, Mr. Hendry, I have worked so hard.
Yes, sir.
To make my business a success.
Let me hold on. Let me read to you. Channel 19's people are telling me they found a busboy and one of the chefs both had staph infections on their hands and they were preparing food without gloves.
If I want to jump in.
I'm going to read the whole thing. You can say what you want. The refrigerator in the kitchen of your restaurant was broken. Some of the meat was over temperature. There was grease in the drink machines and in the ice chute in the kitchen of your restaurant. The employees were not washing their hands after using the toilet. There was evidence of rodent droppings in a food storeroom. There was also evidence of a toilet backed up, which was one of the patrons' toilets. So go ahead. I mean, these are all things that Channel 19 found. They did air it, because I have a videotape of the feature, and they also went to the health department with it. Why is this wrong for them to do this?
Let me explain on behalf of everyone who owns a restaurant. I have worked my ass off in this country, and I have built a business, and here comes Channel 19 to take my dream and roll it up in the toilet paper of their restroom at the Channel 19 restroom.
And Mr. Green, why don't you think Channel 19 or any investigative reporter has the right to expose health code violations of your restaurant? Why don't you think they have the right? And then I want to give our phone number out, okay?
Yes, sir. I lost someone very dear to me on July 19th, 2003. It was my wife, Angela. She was my wife of 4 years.
I'm sorry.
And she died very suddenly. And she was a young woman. She was 32 years of age. And the only thing that has kept me going was either my restaurant, or there were times when I felt like I might take my own life. And just as I was beginning to come out of the blackness of this depression, losing my wife, this group of vultures from this news organization comes into my restaurant and begins to throw around very serious accusations, which wind up on television, and it is negatively impacted my business.
All right, sir, if I could say...
Yes, sir.
I am very sorry for your loss, losing your wife, and I can see how you would... That would impact your business, but the news crew went in there because they had received complaints about your restaurant from as far back as 2002, which, if I heard you correctly, predates your wife's death. And we're talking about toilets backed up, vermin droppings. These are serious things.
And I suppose that's why people come from across town to have one of the best meatball sandwiches you're ever going to have. I suppose that's why people come from across town to have our chicken wrap, to have our chicken Caesar salad. That's why they come across town, because they're worried about Channel 19's perceptions.
All right, well, hold on. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You've retained an attorney because the Channel 19 investigative team came in and found that you had rat droppings. They found that you had a backed-up toilet. They found that your staff was preparing food with infected cuts on their hands. They found that you had refrigerators that weren't working, and your business is doing fine though, as a result, right?
No, well, my business has suffered since the Channel 19 news team decided to this DeCruz woman, who is the anchor, came into my life, lifted her skirt, and relieved herself on my life. On my life.
All right. You have been fined, sir, by the county and told to clean up. You had to settle a lawsuit brought by the family of a 12-year-old girl who came down with salmonella poisoning. You say you're being harassed, but they found health code violations along with a little girl who was poisoned by the food in your restaurant, and you feel you're being harassed. You've retained an attorney.
All right, let me put it into perspective. I sell 300 meatball sandwiches. Most of my business is takeout, so no one's using the toilet. The rat droppings they found, we took care of. We laid traps for those. I got a Chinese and a Vietnamese down the street. They both have restaurants. I'd love to see them go in there and test the food of this Chinese and this Vietnamese guy that I know, Kim Tan, who I've known for 12 years, who's a nice guy, but I know his restaurant is filthy. But because the mayor likes to go in and have his hot and sour soup in there, this guy gets to have a filthy, filth-laden pit for a restaurant. But I...
Well, whether his restaurant has filth in it or not, yours not only flunked a health test from the county, you got a girl came down with salmonella poisoning, and, you know, you're blaming the Channel 19 news crew.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever pulled a woman out of a pool at 2 o'clock in the morning and tried to clear the vomit from her mouth and tried to breathe life into her?
No, I haven't. And I understand that's what happened.
That was what happened with me and my wife last summer. I had to pull her out of a pool at 2 in the morning, clear the vomit from her mouth, and try to give mouth-to-mouth to her. And I was too late. I will tell you...
All right, let me take a break.
No, I want to say this. Channel 19 is conducting a smear campaign against a man who is still suffering from the loss of his wife. And I wonder if this Donna DeCruz, who would be so eager with her cameras, if she found one of her loved ones dead in a swimming pool with a handful of pills in her stomach and a quart of vodka... And I say the health department, they let the Chinaman down the street get away with murder because the mayor likes his hot and sour soup, but I sell 300 meatball sandwiches a day and they want to come in, lift their skirt, and relieve herself all over my life and the lives of everyone else that I touch. And I don't think it's fair.
Look, at I'm the first guy to tell you that the overeager news organizations on television these days are so desperate for news that they'll create news. But I love to go into restaurants, as I'm sure you do as well, sir. You operate one, and I don't want to know that there's rat droppings in the kitchen.
And I will ask you the question again. Have you ever pulled a woman out of a swimming pool at 3 in the morning?
No, sir, I have never done that. I thank God that I've never had to do that.
Well, I did.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, that's a tale of... The man's a restaurant owner. He's gotten he's basically gotten a C minus or a D from the county. I mean, his business has been impacted since the television news crew went and they found rat droppings. Janice, you got the list of what happened in that restaurant. I'm not giving the name of his restaurant on the air because who needs to? He's the guy that's gotten a lawyer and wants to sue the county back. Now, a girl went in and ate some food. She got salmonella poisoning, rat droppings, refrigerator that's broken, backed up toilets. Members of his food preparation staff who have infections on their hands are preparing food without gloves, and so on and so forth. And yeah, I feel for the guy. He lost his wife. He says the Chinese and Vietnamese restaurants down the street are getting away with murder because the mayor likes the hot and sour soup in there. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And Mr. Green, Donna DeCruz, who we know, and I'm not saying she's a friend, so I don't have, I'm not saying that I've got some. But she says that you called her personally and told her to go shove a camera, quote, up Kim Thatt's ass, not yours, right?
Yes, sir, I did say that because she had come into my restaurant and said she wanted to do a review, and the next thing you know, she's got hidden cameras.
Did you call her a whore?
This is not about me, sir. This is...
I wanted to know, because I don't know whether she's making claims.
No, I might have said that, yeah. But this isn't about me.
All right.
Look, you go down the street to Kim Thatt's restaurant right now, where I wouldn't even want to guess at the health code violations in there, but because this is a guy who's a war refugee from Vietnam, and we feel so sorry for him, and the mayor likes his hot and sour soup, he gets a pass, and I get, I get jail sex from the county, and until you've pulled your wife from a swimming pool at 3 in the morning...
All right, I can't keep talking about the wife. We're here to talk about the health code violations.
Which is exactly why I'm on your program, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Channel 19 found rat droppings, backed up toilets, a lot of things in Mr. Green's restaurant. Here is Ellen. Hello, Ellen. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Yes, I absolutely and totally empathize with this gentleman's point about the loss of his wife, and I apologize for that. I'm sorry for his loss.
Thank you very much.
That does not by any means stop the point that you have a restaurant to run, and it has absolutely no effect on your business. You're putting people at risk. You're putting people's health at risk, and the fact that you lost your wife has absolutely nothing to do with your business. And they had absolutely every right to run that story and to make the public aware of the health risk that you're putting people at.
Well,
I think it's a good point.
It is a good point. Here's my question.
And not only that, but you've not answered the host's question at all. You continue to refer back to the fact that you lost your wife.
Well, which question was that? I'm sorry.
Well, the host asked you... whether you think you've put people at risk and about the operation of your restaurant, and you continue to refer back to the loss of your wife as opposed to the point that's being made, and you may possibly want to think about addressing...
Oh, I'd be happy to. I'm sorry. My wife, Angela, was the one who, at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, got in, swept the rat you know, turds or what do you want to call them out?
Yeah, but so you're not addressing the problems. You're covering the problems up.
No,
you obviously have health violations, and you're upset with people for exposing the things that you need to correct about your restaurant.
I'm trying to answer your question. Why I keep going back to that. It was my wife who kept the kitchen cleaned out.
Okay, well, that's fine, but then you need to understand that your wife is no longer part of that restaurant, and possibly that is a loss, so you need to look to someone else, possibly yourself or a restaurant manager, to then correct that situation.
You know why I'm having problems?
I as an individual, don't know the name of your restaurant, but you can be rest assured that I will not be patronizing your restaurant.
Mr. Green?
You won't get any of my money.
Can I say something right now?
Sure.
I tried to answer the lady's question, but she's coming off sounding just like one of these people that works for the county. She sounds
just like the guy that came in last week.
You sound like just like the guy that came in last week.
Well, sir, you have a responsibility to the public. You are representing to the public that you are serving food that is outstanding, and you're not.
My wife is dead. She cleaned the toilets out. She swept the rat crap out.
Sir, is there no one else on earth that would be able to do that for you now?
Right. Can't you hire someone else?
But my wife used to work the swing shift, the overnight shift. She cleaned from midnight probably till 6 a.m.
So, sir, you need to find someone to replace that element in your restaurant because you, as a restaurant owner, have a responsibility to the public to serve food that is of standard, that doesn't get 12-year-old girls.
She's going to be hard to replace. She was of Mexican descent.
I understand, they don't clean like the Mexicans clean really good. Sir, I understand that, but you not fixing your restaurant's problem, but now you've gone and you've tried to accuse other people being of standard either.
And you don't work for L.A. County.
No, sir, I sure do not work for L.A. County. I'm just a normal...
I think you're a liar. I think you're a liar.
Well, sir, that's your opinion,
you're a liar.
And you're entitled to that?
You sound like one of these ball busters from the county.
Watch the language, sir, please.
And you know what, sir?
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show will be right back. Oh, we're not breaking yet. I'm sorry. Is Angela still there? Did I hang up? Who was I talking to? Ellen. Ellen, are you still there? I thought we were breaking. Get my guest back on. Bob?
Yeah, Phil. I thought you're breaking a little early because I listen to your show and you usually break it a lot later.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I thought I had a commercial break.
No.
Go ahead and make your point.
Well, I tell you what, Ellen, let Bob finish his point.
I'd like to finish my point, which is that my wife was a Mexican and they clean good. And I'm not saying that's what I used her for, but...
But, sir, that does not absolve you of the obligation of serving food that's up to standard and not infecting people with
disease. I have to stop talking to this lady because the more I listen to her, the more I want to gouge my own eyes out. She's just irritated.
I think, Ellen, you're making great points, and the man is caught in a...
Well,
thank you.
The truth.
All right, Ellen, thank you. 1-800-449, what's the problem?
You know, she sounds like the guy from L.A. County, and you know, and I don't care if your wife died, you have responsibilities. And I wanted to gouge my own eyes out with a thing called a Zulu, which is an Alaskan chopping knife. And I wanted to, and it looks a little bit like a pendulum blade. And I wanted to take my own eye out with it. And that's how much I miss my wife.
All right, sir. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here with Robert Green. He owns a restaurant that has been cited for health code violations. He says, why is the county picking on him after his wife has died so recently? Plus, the Vietnamese restaurant down the street is probably filthier, but they don't get cited because the mayor likes their hot and sour soup. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. The Phil Henry Show is back.
If you have health code violations in your restaurant where at least one customer was poisoned and you had to settle out of court a lawsuit because of salmonella poisoning from your restaurant, does it excuse you that your wife died 6 months before or that you claim police harassment? Why is that?
Well, I've been harassed by the police since last summer.
Why? Why do you say they're harassing you?
They have been to my home repeatedly. They have asked me, have I beaten my wife? They asked me why she had cigarette burns on her arm. I told them that she was a deeply disturbed woman, that she, you know...
Was she burning herself with a cigarette?
She was a smoker. I can tell you that. And maybe, I don't know. But how do you expect me to pick up every last rodent dropping, if you will, or to clean the grease when I have the death of... And then Donna DeCruz comes in and... She wrapped her lips around one of my meatball sandwiches and said it was great, and the next week hikes her skirt and has a bowel movement all over my life. And I can tell you...
Sir, as much as you have grieved, your language and the way that you are talking...
I'm sorry, sir.
...is inappropriate, and I have an audience that I have to be mindful of.
I'm very sorry.
1-800-449-8686. Joe, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Green, I live in San Francisco, and I'm a businessman, and I travel a lot. I eat in restaurants maybe 5, 6, 7 times a week.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
One of the things that, and I travel a lot to L.A., one of the things I like about L.A. is that you get a posting in the window in front of a restaurant.
That is from the county health department, yeah, and they have ruined a lot of good people.
But why is it ruining? Because if you really have the situation that you have, that it sounds like you admit... that you had in your restaurant, although you have a lot of reasons why you think it was the case, then why somebody like me should frequent that restaurant or come into that restaurant and put my health in danger?
Well, one of the things, and forgive me, Joe, you're from San Francisco, and while I have a great many friends from up there, people in San Francisco can't wait to ruin a man's business because of the liberal mentality up in San Francisco.
Yeah, but I'm not a liberal.
Well, I understand that, but you people up there, you're like this Donna DeCruz. You can't wait to relieve yourself all over a man's reputation.
Wait a minute.
Let's forget about San Francisco. This Joe says he appreciates the postings.
Well, I don't, and I'll tell you why. I'd ask Joe the same thing. You got a lot of these, in San Francisco, you got a lot of these, the Chinese, right? How come this guy down the street gets to have, for all I know, he's got busboys crapping in the chili maker, and he gets to have...
Again, I can't have you accusing anybody.
I'm sorry, sir, but the mayor likes the hot and sour. Why don't they go down and harass...
Why does that give you the right to have a dirty establishment and an unsafe establishment?
If I have a dirty establishment, why do I sell 300 meatball sandwiches a day?
Well, I don't think that selling 300 meatball sandwiches a day... qualifies you to as a clean establishment.
Not only that, but you had a young lady. She came down with salmonella poisoning. You settled the case, and you've not denied this. And you say that the whole reason why it's okay is because your wife died. Now you're telling me the police are harassing you, asking why she has cigarette burns on her arms and why are they inquiring into her death, sir?
I'm sorry.
Are they inquiring into the circumstances surrounding your wife's death?
Well, if you're trying to say, are they asking, did I kill my wife, that you're getting very close to slander now.
No. I'm just asking, why are they...
Is this Joe there? Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Well, let me just say this, Joe. You come down to L.A., you come into my restaurant, and you'll have the greatest meatball sandwich you ever had in your life, and you won't care if the toilets don't flush.
Oh, yes, I will care.
No, why are you going to care? You're not going to care that maybe it was... Well, I don't...
I will care that you have two employees with cuts on their hands that
might have prepared their sandwich.
Preparing food without gloves.
Suppose you didn't know anything about it. Suppose a guy prepared your meatball sandwich with an oozing sore on his finger, and maybe some of the pus got into the sandwich. And maybe...
Oh, my God!
Wait a second. Wait, I want to take this on. Okay, fine. Are you right?
And you didn't know about it, and you had the best meatball sandwich that you've ever had in your life, and you lived a long, healthy life. What difference does it make?
The next thing you're going to say is that you're serving cats. And what difference does it make if it tastes good?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I'll I'll be surprised if there's a listener on this show that agrees with that point of view.
Well, that's a ridiculous... Not only that, there's a law against that.
I would ask Joe. He says he eats in restaurants 5-6 times a week. The chances that you've eaten cat have gone way up since you eat... The more you eat... Don't you think... And you come from San Francisco and you're trying to tell me you never ate stir-fried cat. Yeah, okay. What you yank the other one?
Let me
see if there's bells on it.
What is the rating on your window of your restaurant?
We got an F. Last month, we got an F.
You know that I've never even seen a B restaurant in L.A.?
No kidding, man. I mean, I saw a C one time, and my wife actually forced me to go in and eat at a B restaurant because she said the food was fair. I said, it's got a B. She goes, I don't care. The food here is great.
See, now your wife is a woman. I only wish that would have married her.
But you got an F.
Mexican.
But you got an F.
I got an F, and I sell 300 meatball sandwiches a day. Count them.
All right, listen, Joe, thank you, and continued success there. Let me go down to Claire. Claire, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I work in an earthen kitchen. It's a deli. We make everything from scratch. It's in a grocery store.
Okay.
And the customers can see every single thing that happens. If you come back from a break and you don't wash your hands, they see it. Every single thing you do there is being watched by the customers, and I think it's a great situation, and the food we put out is very healthy and clean, and I'm very concerned because your guest seems to not be in a state where he can even properly staff his business so that the facility gets cleaned.
No, but you're missing my point. I said to the other guy, he eats in 5-6 restaurants a week. He doesn't care if he eats a cat sandwich so long as it tastes good. Now, I would ask you, if you work in a full-service deli, and I imagine the owner's Jewish?
No.
Because I figure he'd want to cut costs. He would be...
Wait. So far in my program, you know, the Chinese guy this, the Mexican that, the Vietnamese that, and now the Jewish owner of the deli wants to cut costs.
I don't understand.
Well, if you don't understand, I'd like to have the racial references and the ethnic references... At a minimum.
All right, let me rephrase. Suppose whoever owns your deli brought in a cat carcass and said, I want you to
start... Well, actually, we're an employee-owned business.
Right. Well, what if the guy who is the managing partner, let's say, said, let's start serving up cat because who's going to know the difference in our Philly cheesesteaks? You know that...
I know what goes on behind the counter in the kitchen, and we do not serve cat. We only serve... The highest quality
what are you laughing?
And produce.
You know, you laugh about it, but you can understand what I'm saying. The money you can save... Look, you know the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, Phil? You've had them.
Yeah, I've had them.
You know the little bits of beef that they call that steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, why? I fail at...
Look, you go to a play and they say, yeah, you want a Philly cheesesteak? I go, yeah, sure. What do you mean... What do you mean steak? I know the cheese, but what's this? The steak is the little strips of beef... I'm going to tell you this right now because I've heard it from at least two independent sources. Most of the Philly
Philly cheesesteaks. We make that. We have that on special. And I see that the meat comes from Oregon country beef.
Is
it's
it
grown
steak?
Right here in Oregon. It's free-range meat. It's fresh. I see them cut it up and cook it. And I can feel good about honestly telling our customers that our food is fresh, that it's healthy, that it's not going to make you sick.
Most of the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches sold in America are some version of cat meat. You think your deli's so great because you serve right in front of the customer. Customers don't know the difference between a scoop of tuna or a scoop of stir-fried dog. They wouldn't know, oh yeah, you want a tuna sandwich? And you could be digging into a pile of, it could be someone's hamster. So what I'm saying...
Look, this is absurd, and it all takes the point off of what we're trying to talk about, and this lady thinks you're mentally disturbed. You shouldn't be running a business because, you know...
I'll bet you that at least 40% of the time your Philly cheesesteak sandwich was beating around a rubber mouse before you bit into it. Are you blowing your nose on the phone, into your hand, or what's going on there?
I was using a tissue.
All right.
And I think that you really...
Yeah.
Need to reconsider your life. I mean,
no kidding.
Obviously you have a lot of problems, and I think that running a business right now is obviously too much for you to handle if you can't properly staff your restaurant.
Well, ma'am, I will say
this. You seem to be a very, very angry person,
I
would hate to be somebody that has to work for you.
I think there is anger there.
Well, I think it's a heck of a world where a man is accused of being mentally disturbed because he objects to you piling a bun high with cat meat. Go ahead and pile it high and deep.
Oh, look at Claire, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah, Claire, thank you for your call. Thank you for calling up, and you and wedding all over my life, too. Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Well, you got a foul mouth. You do have a temper problem.
Yeah, what else is wrong? What else is wrong with me?
You blame everybody else for your problems.
What else? Yeah, I just lost my wife, but go ahead, pile it on.
And you and that self-pity with the wife.
I want to ask that girl if she used tissue paper to blow her nose with, or was it just her skirt? She just lift up the hem of the sweatshirt she's wearing?
Mr. Green, I hope and pray that...
I go to jail soon?
No, I don't want you to go to jail. What I want you to do is clean up your restaurant. I think you need a sabbatical. I think you need...
I'm not a priest. So
you don't have to be a priest to get a... I mean a time off.
But just say time off. Don't use a lot of that queer priest talk.
Yeah, but you hate everybody, don't you?
Since Angela died, yes. I had to pull my wife's hair out of a pool filter. Thank you.
Obviously, the man is in no shape to talk. 1-800-449-8686. Well, I can tell you now, do not eat at Bob's Meatball Sandwich Shack. Freaking F from the L.A. County Health Department. But to think that this is a guy who would come on my program racially... Hold on for a minute. Yes, sir. And by the way, like I tell everybody, sir, don't hang up on me again.
No, I just... hold on. I got to make a sandwich, okay? And I'll get back to you.
Meow. Meow.
Yeah, okay, Bill. I got that Philly cheesesteak coming up.
Meow.
Yeah, I get it. It's a cat.
Oh, good. You're quick. Asshole.
Ninety percent of the Philly cheesesteak sandwiches sold in America were beaten around a rubber mouse a week before. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Out of Bounds.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger was on a show yesterday talking about the top 100 country artists of all time and his opinion, except his opinion ain't worth squat.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Doug, I don't know who the hell hired you, but they're wasting their money, man. You don't know anything about country music.
I'm a gay man.
By the way, I'm a gay woman, and you're giving me a bad name.
How you figure that?
Keep it in sand over and over and over again. It has nothing to do with being gay. It has no about knowing music. Where are you from?
I'm from Los Angeles, California. Well, I'm originally...
You're proving it right now, buddy. Everybody that's listening that's from the South, myself included, is horrified. This is awful.
Wait a second.
Johnny Cash. You're not mentioning any... Merle Haggard? Johnny Cash is 87? Are you on drugs? Are you smoking the same thing that Ray is smoking?
Let's turn the music off so, Doug, you can have a conversation with us. This is Phil Henry, Brandy. Now, there's a...
This is exactly why I did this list, Phil, so that this gay woman, lesbian, I think is what it's called. Anyway, Jesus.
What difference does it make, dude? What difference does it make?
Thank you very much.
All right, well, let me say this. You play fastball?
Do I play fastball? What does that have to do with me and liking country music? Tell you what, from the state of Texas, and in Texas you listen to country music. I'll tell you right now, from Los Angeles, you don't know anything about country music, buddy, and the guy that hired you is wasting his money.
Let me ask something. Are you denying that Merle Haggard is good?
No, I'm not denying that Merle Haggard is good.
That's what you were just saying.
No, she wasn't.
You did not mention. You're putting Merle Haggard. What number did you have him at?
I got Merle at 51.
51! 51! This is making me laugh.
Wait a second. What are your credentials?
87. What do you got Garth Brooks at?
Garth Brooks is number 7.
What do you got Tim McGraw at?
Tim McGraw is 11.
Loretta Lynn. This is ridiculous.
Loretta Lynn's 81.
81!
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. And you have
Can I jump in? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
That has nothing to do with it. I don't want you to stop saying that because it's starting to piss me off.
Oh, well,
it has nothing to do with you liking or not liking country. country music and being a critic and having the credentials to be a critic of country music.
Wait,
Brandon. Honestly, you're making me mad on two points. One, you know nothing about country music. And two, you being gay has nothing to do with the fact that you could or could not like country music. So stop saying that.
Look, Miss Lesbian, all you know about is Melissa Etheridge music and a hairy armpitted woman's music festival. Okay, now I'm going to try.
Can we get off the gay thing?
All right, look. You said you're trying to make us all smart. That's a very ignorant remark you just made.
That was. It's stupid. Let's get it off of sexual orientation and get it back in the music.
By you putting Johnny Cash at 87.
What is it with you and Johnny Cash? The guy couldn't sing.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean,
he had a beautiful voice. Listen to that baritone. What are you talking about? He couldn't sing.
Well, what about that last album he made?
The man was a very elderly man when he made the last album. He'd also lost his wife.
He was suffering from liver cancer, glaucoma.
Merle Haggard had...
he still managed to come through with the song like Cold. What are you talking about?
Well, Merle Haggard had a pill problem, and he sounded great. So I don't know.
I have not once denied. I think Merle Haggard is one of the greatest singers of country music players of all time. I'm not denying that at all. What I'm saying is...
What is this?
I want to ask the lady, who's this?
She can't hear it, man. She's on a cell phone. Okay?
All right, well, this is... I don't know who this is. This is Willie Nelson.
I'm not on the fact that you thought Sheryl Crow was a country singer, too, by the way. That's classic.
What makes you think she's not a country singer?
What, because
she was a waitress, that makes her a country singer. Correlation, bud. I'm not quite sure where you're going with that one.
You've got Buck Owens / Dolly Parton. What does that mean?
You know, I think you give gay people a bad name.
You know what? I have only mentioned myself being gay to say that it's not necessary to mention being gay. It has nothing to do with liking a certain kind of music.
Well,
unless you like the Backstreet Boys because you're gay.
Wait a second. I don't like the Backstreet Boys because I'm gay. I like them because they're quality entertainment.
There you go.
Hey, Phil.
This is your country music critic that just said the Backstreet Boys are quality music.
You know something, Phil? I'll take it from Butch here, but I don't want to take it from you, okay? Keep your mouth shut.
All right, don't call her Butch.
You can say whatever you want, buddy, because you're right online, pal.
Hey, Brandy, Johnny Cash was a hack. The last thing he did was a Nine Inch Nails song. He realized he better record some decent music before he crawled into a bottle and died.
That's a horrible thing to say about that man who's recently departed.
You know what? I got to
say, Cheryl,
this is absolutely ridiculous, but I will say this. If whoever hired you, whoever you work for is listening, get a new critic.
All right. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll play a Johnny Cash song. Here's Johnny Cash for Brandy.
Johnny Cash, no, he's a great country music player.
It's hard to be a woman.
This isn't Johnny Cash.
Accident.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Right, man. That wasn't Johnny Cash at all. That was Sheryl Crow. I said that's a cue. That wasn't Johnny Cash. That was Sheryl Crow. That wasn't Johnny Cash. That was Sheryl Crow. Oh, well.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Art Bell will be on the Phil Hendry Show here this hour to talk about why he retired. We also have coming up news even pro hockey players can understand, and that's just a public service. Because we realize that if you play professional hockey, your ability to actually understand and comprehend the day's news is probably limited. And so we bring in a good man, a fine man, but he has a steel plate in his head. His name is Bud Dickman. And so, in other words, he's special, like a lot of you hockey players are. He's a special guy. And we're very proud of Bud and what he's been able to overcome, like many of you who play professional hockey. He went headfirst through a tree, not unlike what happens to you guys nightly, and yet he's still, you know, we respect him, and we pat him on the head, and he goes out into the night wearing his little ski cap, and what do you always say to us, Bud, huh?
Bye!
That's right. Good boy. All right, go ahead and get me more Starbucks right down the street, okay?
Okay.
That's my guy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Though that'll be coming up later on. We'll also talk about Kobe Bryant. Art Garfunkel got arrested for possession of marijuana, and the cop didn't recognize him, and I guess that's, like, bad? What? And bullies in schools. But first, Hall of Famer undergoing counseling. This is fascinating. We used to have a pretty healthy relationship with liquor in this country. Now, I understand there are alcoholics. The most successful alcohol treatment program in the history of the world is, and in point of fact, the most successful drug treatment program in the history of the world is an organization called Alcoholics Anonymous. It, unlike any other cure you want to talk about, has been more successful in treating narcotics addiction, alcohol addiction, etc. So we've got that in place. I don't give a crap about the Betty Ford Clinic. I mean, you go out there, you go to AA meetings. That's what happens to you out there. I mean, it's a very acute, it's an acute treatment center where if you are falling down, you know, like if you're in the, in jeopardy of going into alcohol coma, an alcoholic coma, you go out there and they dry your ass out, yeah. But you go to an AA meeting. Beyond that, things have happened in our society where I guess we just don't like to see drunk people. The other problem that we've had, of course, the addicts, the recovering alcoholics, the recovering cigarette smokers, the recovering cocaine freaks, because they can't handle it, they don't want anybody else doing it. And I say this with the greatest of respect, but if you quit smoking cigarettes, that's your business. I've yet to have anybody, and I say this with great pride, and I don't say this to try to challenge anyone, but I got to tell you, I have yet to have anybody come up to me and say, would you please put the cigarette out, and they've succeeded in me putting the cigarette out. Unless I was in an area that was no smoking. I've been standing on sidewalks where people have made comments. I've been standing in areas where people have said, why don't you put the cigarette out? I ain't putting it out for love or money. Well, yeah, how about if I came up and took it out of your hand and put it out? Well, you're certainly welcome to try. You're certainly welcome to. I'm not saying that to be a badass. I'm just tired. Tired of what has recently occurred, and that's the freedom that people seem to feel they have to walk up to total strangers and comment on their personal habits. My secondhand smoke from my cigarette is not going to give your kid cancer. Just isn't going to do it. It's not going to do it. I don't care what doctor you got, because I got another doctor that says that incidental secondhand smoke going to hurt anybody. Now, if I smoke, if I'm an idiot, if I'm stupid, if I deserve to die, yes, you're right, I deserve to die, you know. But I ain't putting a cigarette out because your space is being invaded, because you can kiss my bright red rosy on Main Street, baby. You can kiss the wild Irish rose. I ain't putting out Jack. The other thing that I really love, like these kids will walk by you, like a guy's 15, a 16-year-old guy will walk by and say, hey, man, smoking's bad for you. Dude, who told you, you know, it was any of your business? So your parents, like, do that? They walk by people, so you're picking up the habit? I mean, everybody, like a 4-year-old kid, you shouldn't smoke. Really? Aren't you cute? Say, listen, is that a shiny quarter underneath the rear wheel of my truck? Go and see. I swear I was backing out, I didn't see her. Anyway, I say all of that to say this. Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Namath now is undergoing counseling for alcohol abuse. A month after an ESPN interview in which he slurred his words and twice told an NFL sideline reporter he wanted to kiss her. So I guess that makes you an alky, huh, Joe? You know what, Joe? You had yourself a couple of belts with your buddies. I guess they started rolling about 3 o'clock that afternoon. You're Joe Namath. You're retired. You got a lot of money. You just got rid of another wife. Why not go out and party? You're a New York Jet quarterback, the only New York Jet quarterback to ever lead him to a Super Bowl. You're part of a legendary group. And you go wherever you want in the New York Jet organization. They just open the door for you. And that evening, you happen to be on the sidelines. Was that at the Meadowlands? It was in Jersey? He happened to be on the sidelines. He was blind, stinking drunk. Yeah, so up comes Susie Colbert with the pixie haircut and her fastball microphone. And, you know, I mean, I love Susie, and I agree, she's cute, but let's not be confused. Let's not be dissuaded from the overriding impression that Susie probably ultimately carries her keys in a chain off of a belt. And that's really all you need to know about old Suze. Because if you knew Susie like I knew Susie, oy, boy, man. Anyway, he walked up to this dyke. I mean, he went up to Susie, and he said, how about a kiss, baby? And I guess this is just the worst thing that you could ever ask anybody. I think the mistake he made is he asked a lesbian for a kiss. She probably reported it to her superiors. As if she had to. We know, Susie. We saw it on TV.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
All right. As long as you saw it.
Yeah, we were watching. He's been drinking for several hours before kickoff. Yes, yeah, so what's wrong with that? Mr. Henry, are you encouraging alcohol consumption? No, I'm not encouraging alcohol consumption. I'm asking the question, what's wrong with a guy drinking from 3 o'clock in the afternoon until, if he isn't driving, if he's with his friends or whatever? If he's not driving, you know Namath ain't driving. He's in a freaking limousine. He says he did the wrong thing. What was the wrong thing that you did? I'm very disappointed with my behavior because of how I embarrassed my family and the people that I work with and my friends and all. That sounds like he's lying. I don't think he embarrassed his family, and I don't think his friends gave a crap. Those are the guys he was drinking with from 3 o'clock on. And who else? And the people that you work with. Who do you work with, man? I mean, your biographer? The person that counts the money? But hey, worse things have happened, says Joe. And boy, ain't that the truth. And thank God I'm healthy and we'll move on and we'll make it better. There's nothing to make better, Joe. You had a couple of drinks, you went down to the sideline, you talked to old Suze, you asked for a kiss, and because you'd had a couple of pops, people called in and complained. You weren't driving a car, as far as I could tell. You weren't operating a weapon, a firearm, as far as I could see. You weren't manhandling a child. You weren't operating any kind of machinery. You weren't mixing it with drugs. You weren't around a barbecue or fire. You were not overseeing the well-being of children. What exactly did you do wrong other than walk up to a woman with a little Johnny Walker Black on your breath and say, how about a kiss? Aha, now we get to the point. You can't even do that anymore without it being sexual harassment, demeaning, degrading. If Susie Colbert had any real talent, she would have handled it a lot easier than she did. Hey, Joe, that's a real compliment. Hey, she should have said, hey, Joe, boy, I can smell that freaking Jack Daniels 100 yards off. Anything like that. That was a wake-up call, Namath said. Even before that, I said, yeah, I'm going to stop. Sure. But he would always resume drinking, Namath explained, hopeful that this time he can become alcohol-free. It's just something I cannot handle in its history. I want you guys to research something for me. Has Joe Namath ever been arrested for a DUI? Has Joe Namath ever been arrested for a DWI? Has he ever been cited for driving under the influence of anything? I'd like to know, because if he has, then I take back what I've said. Personally, if you want to know somebody who needs alcohol counseling, anyone who gets a DUI, in my opinion, that's an indication you got a problem. Seriously. If your use of alcohol has led you to violate the law, then I would say, guess what? You can't handle it. I mean, if you could handle it, then you wouldn't be violating the law, would you? For instance, I've never had a DUI. My kids think it's because I have thick Irish blood and so I can't get drunk. My kids have never seen me drunk, and they swear to God that I don't get drunk. Well, guess what? I stopped drinking Coors Light. Now I get drunk. All right, anyway, that's Joe. And he's going to go and he's going to clean up to make everybody happy with him, you poor bastard Namath. You know, they were afraid that Joe was going to walk up to the Gatorade bucket and dump it over Herman Edwards. And they were losing the game. They were afraid that Joe was going to do it before Susie Colbert did it. All right, coming up is Art Bell on why he's retiring. 1-800-4, or why he has retired. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. one 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now, the Premier Radio Networks presents Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. East of the Rockies, west of the Rockies, you know what to do.
Thank you, Ross Mitchell, and good evening, everyone. I'm Art Bell. And let me just say this. I am going to... I'm going to solve a mystery that has been, shall we say, unsolved for quite some time this evening. That I have retired from five-day-a-week broadcast, and that I am now going to limit myself to broadcasting on weekend. Why? That is what we deal in on our program, The Whys. And we will have the answer to that why coming up. But first, this from Peenemann Enterprises. Friends, scientists tell us that there is a very good chance that sometime in the future, the tectonic plates of the Earth will shift so suddenly and violently that the planet will virtually break apart, sending large chunks of our Earth hurtling into space like enormous meteorites. What if that were to happen tomorrow? Will you be prepared? Well, you can begin to prepare yourself for whatever horrifying, unreal cataclysm hits your home by purchasing the new Peenemann Enterprises desk fan. This full-rotating, easy-to-assemble cooling desk fan comes in three striking colors, white, black, and white, and black. Now, I want to double-check that. Is that four striking colors? All right, I'm double-checking that now. We'll go to our website. There'll be a picture of the desk fan, and you can tell us if it looks like two or three or four colors. I'm not sure. The oscillating desk fan also has a convenient on-off switch and can be moved from room to room. New handy electrical cord makes it possible to plug it into alternating current outlets. So when the Earth comes apart in a terrifying explosion or not, there's nothing that you can do about it, so why not just buy our desk fan and call it a day? The terribly predictable desk fan from Peenemann Enterprises. All right, tonight we're going to explore my reason for retiring from our show. General Johnson Jameson joins us, of course, from beneath the Saskatchewan crust in his bunker complex there, where you have been monitoring any number of phenoms, Bigfoot, UFOs, the abominable snowman, the likelihood of trans-dimensional travel, as well as, of course, the contacting of spirits long dead. General Johnson Jameson, as always, a great pleasure. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm very well, Art, and I join you tonight in trying to figure out why you've retired from your broadcast, which I think is one of the saddest and yet one of the
confusing?
Yes, that's the word I was looking for. I was looking for this complex word, isn't it? Confusing things. I'm concerned, Art, because I feel I know the answer.
All right, now you feel you know the answer, and we're going to get calls on this as well, General Jameson. Do you mind, General Jameson, we take calls?
I don't mind at all, because I think we're all of a like mind. I think we know why you've retired from your broadcast, and because right now I'm doing some experiments in my laboratory. As you know, I've been working on goblin juice, if it'll make you invisible. But I'm taking 6 months off.
Now, the goblin juice experiment to see if you could become invisible from drinking goblin juice, how's that going?
It's going very well, but the government, of course... I called the CIA yesterday. I looked them up, and I called them, and I said, I have goblin juice. It can make you invisible. Are you interested? And guess what?
What?
They laughed at me.
Well, you can expect the ignorance of the government.
The government is in a conspiracy. They're in a cover-up. I think they've already got goblin juice. And that's why I think my life is threatened, because I have goblin juice, and they have goblin juice, and they don't want me to have the goblin juice.
They don't want anybody else to have invisibility. I've already told you that.
That is correct.
All right, well, let me go to a phone call. The wild card line. Good evening. You're on Coast to Coast AM with General Johnson Jameson.
Hey, Art. Love your program as usual.
Thank you very much.
All right, I think I know what General Jameson's thinking, and I'm going to come out and say it. And, Art, I just want you to know there's a lot of us out here who love you, and we'll back you up all the way.
All right, thank you. Why do you think I've retired?
I think you've retired, sir, because you've been threatened by the government.
That's exactly correct, Art. We feel the government is trying to shut you up. And,
All right, well, I can tell you now, that,
You can't talk, Kenny. That's okay.
I tell you what. Let's go to another call. Hi, you're on the Wild Card Line. Good evening. Welcome to Coast AM with General Johnson Jameson. I'm Art Bell.
Art, my name is James Karn, and I live here in White Oak, Nebraska. And I can tell you I've listened to you many a night. Well, trying to sleep, because I don't sleep but an hour a night. And again, my mother has had me in for electroshock countless times. And this is just another example of what they're doing.
Well, I agree.
Wait, can I ask the caller a question, if I might? This is General Jameson.
Uh-huh.
You've had electroshock, right?
Well, they say that there's something wrong with me. I only sleep an hour a night, and I don't need any more sleep. I'm never tired. I'm never, ever tired. They make me sleep an hour a night, and that's only when I take a handful of downers. But I think Art, and the government has been in my home, because they've got a radio transmitter in my pillow and inside of one of my two cats. Because why would a cat talk to you? Okay, that's clue number one. Number two,
well, the cat will talk to you maybe because it likes you. I mean, it doesn't necessarily...
That doesn't mean that the cat has any information the government has.
No, it does not, Art.
Okay. Ooh, man, that helps.
Well, I thank the caller, and we'll take a break. This is Art Bell on Coast to Coast. Friends, Beeman Enterprises has a brand new, beautiful ass pocket that is coming out for you 2004. Yes, when the cataclysm finally hits and the road warrior's out raping your wife and your daughter, make sure you can hide your money up your ass with our new ass purse. Just put your money in the ass purse, stick it up your ass, and the road warrior will rape your wife and daughter and never touch yours. That's new from Beeman Enterprises. We're back here with General Johnson Jameson here on Coast to Coast AM. General Jameson, I thank you for indulging me, but I will tell you why I'm retiring from our program. Are you still there, James?
Yeah, all right, I am.
The reason why I'm... And you're there?
Yes, I'm waiting with bated breath, Art.
The reason why I'm retiring is that I'm sick to death of you. I'm sick of all you people who believe in UFOs.
Now, wait just a minute.
Now, hold on for a minute. I've listened to your blathering for long enough. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I don't want to talk to you, James, you freak. You can't sleep at night because you're schizophrenic. You are a schizophrenic who hears voices and sees things. There are no UFOs. There is no extra-dimensional travel. I'm tired, you understand? I'm just tired! Turn it off!
What an asshole.
Yeah, that's right! I'm Art Bell!
Art Bell, Coast to Coast.
Shut up!
Sorry.
The Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
One more thing about the woman who has been the mother of the kid who allegedly was molested by Michael Jackson. Man, she considers herself the luckiest woman on earth. Isn't that right, baby? If you're out there listening. Because, hey, I know your son's sick and I know you feel bad, but come on, you know as well as I do, you know as well as everybody else out there, this is your ticket, right? Because when you found out... According to you, when you found out that your kid was molested, did you call the cops? Well, did you call the cops or didn't you call the cops? Come on, what's the answer? If your kid you suspect has been molested, sexually molested, did you call the cops? You didn't? You called a lawyer. You called a guy that owns a freaking comedy nightclub. That's who you called. What's that got to do with it? Who's this guy? Jamie Masada. I understand he's a nice guy, owns the Laugh Factory down here in Sunset. What's that got to do with the price of dope? That cat, he even said to you, right? What, did I read it right? Call the police. What are you calling me for? Well, you know why you called them? Because you saw this as the greatest moment of your life. Your son being sexually molested by Michael Jackson was one of the greatest things that ever happened to you. You have made your millions. You've made your money. The $20 million that other kid got, You are going to get, this is going to be your payday too. In fact, you went out and got the exact same lawyer. I hope when you get your money and they put Jackson in jail, they take that kid away from you. And don't give it to that bum father either, that slob. I don't know who they're going to give that poor child to. Might as well put him in a foster home. He'll be better off with a stranger than the two of you. I think every adult associated with this sucks, if you want my honest opinion. Now, I'm becoming increasingly convinced this guy, Michael Jackson, if this cat molested that kid and then he's standing up on top of an SU freaking V doing a dance up there. But anyway, this mother is the one that I'm loving, man. No cops. Nobody calls the coppers. Any police officer go out and interview that kid? Aren't you tired of hearing about the problems of these people? Haven't you got bigger problems of your own? Yes, you do. I guess you like to know that other people have, like Martha Stewart. Here's another one that's got her. She's up to her ass in crocodiles, too. Just like Michael Jackson, Kobe Bryant. I guess it's nice to know that these people can have problems, too, because then the problems that you and I have pale in significance, don't they? Like Martha Stewart. She's got a website. She's playing it the same way Michael Jackson's playing it. If you get the mob on your side, then they don't dare convict you because there'll be a race riot. In Martha's case, it'll be a whole lot of pissed off housewives and homosexuals. But in either way, they'll burn down City Hall, man, the same way they did after, you know, poor Harvey Milk got shot. I mean, everybody's a psycho. And Howard Dean, here's another guy. You know, I love the fact that we have a democracy here, and it's a wonderful democracy, because now Howard Dean knows he's done. He's just done. And he was done before he screamed like a woman, okay? He's done before he screamed like a girl that's seen a snake. Howard Dean was done the day after that caucus when they found out the mainstream Democrats don't give a crap about him. They don't care. Two hoots and a holler about Howard Dean and his weird message. And I guess it hurts. I guess it hurts after being on the cover of Time and Newsweek to find out that mainstream Democrats think you're a freak. And now, who are they going to replace you with? I'll tell you who they're replacing you with. You know as well as I do. And this is the guy that's going to get the nomination. Don't even worry about it. Kerry. Now, why don't I like Kerry? Why wouldn't I vote for Kerry as a Democrat? Here's why. Even though he's a war hero and has military experience, and we seem to really value that, he has no belief system that I've been able to discern. On the one hand, he was against us going into Iraq. On the other hand, now that we're in Iraq, we're doing it the wrong way. He's got an opinion about everything, and he agrees with or disagrees with everything. He hasn't got one unique idea. That's why that cat will be nominated and will get his ass kicked by Bush in November. If you think I'm going to waste a vote on Kerry, dream on. Hey, Kerry, if you're out there, which you are someplace, I doubt if you're listening to me, but somebody pass it on to him, will you? You are going to lose, and I got a specific reason as to why you don't stand for anything, man. You got to stand for something, dude. You don't stand for anything. You stand against the war in Iraq. You stand against the way the war in Iraq's being conducted. You stand against U.S. occupation. You stand against us going it alone, though. You stand against the UN being there, but then you stand against the UN not being there. You're not in favor of us giving out contracts to the French because they weren't our friends during the war. But then again, you were against the war to begin with, so why not give out the contracts to the French? Dude, if you think for 1 minute we're that dumb, I mean, I know we're dumb. Don't get me wrong. The American people, when it comes to politics, are so stupid it breaks all records, but we ain't that stupid. No kidding. I mean, is there a dumber bunch of people on the face of the earth when it comes to politics than Americans? Even the average 15-year-old kid in Britain knows who he's going to vote for when he gets of age. He knows what political party he wants to belong to. He has an opinion. In the United States, you ask a 15-year-old kid who the Vice President of the United States is, and he's going to look back at you with that kind of glassed-over, half-dead stare. He's going to look back at you trying to see if a button will make you go away. He'll look back at you to see if he can hit pause. But we ain't that dumb. Bush, and here's how dumb we are. Look, everything's been going cool with Bush. Yeah, sure. You know, the message ain't getting home, baby. All that stuff about how we're failing in Iraq, how the economy's a shambles, how we're in a quagmire and a disaster in Iraq, it ain't washing. Nobody's buying it. A lot of people are screaming about it, but even more people are not buying it. I've never seen a bigger case of the squeaky freaking wheel getting the grease than the people that have been against the war in Iraq. You'd swear to God that everybody in America is against this war. And when you actually come down to it and find out about it and really take a look at the hard numbers, the people are not only in favor of the war on terror and in favor of the war in Iraq, but the minority that are against it is kind of surprisingly, it's surprisingly small. And as much as you'd like to think we're in a quagmire in Iraq, we're not. As much as you'd like to think there wasn't a good reason to go to war in Iraq, there was. I'll give you an example. Last night a guy calls my show. He says this. He says, how come we didn't go after Osama bin Laden? Okay, I'd be all in favor of that. Where do you suggest we start? I mean, where is he? Well, we know he's in Pakistan because we knew that he was at Tora Bora, and we knew that Al-Qaeda was fleeing Tora Bora into the hills of Pakistan. We knew this. And Osama bin Laden himself admitted that he was at Tora Bora. He also said that it was living hell being at Tora Bora because the U.S. Air Force was bombing the hell out of that place, and it was like a week of not knowing whether you can live or not. Bin Laden is in Pakistan. So are you suggesting we invade Pakistan? Well, yeah. Well, but if the United Nations was against it, we'd be violating... Well, I'd rather go into Pakistan and get bin Laden because he's 9/11, and I don't care. So, all right, so while we're looking for bin Laden, if you're in favor of violating UN charters, then I tell you what we'll do. Let's go ahead and violate it in Iraq, get Saddam out of there on our way to going into Pakistan and getting Osama bin Laden. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? If you're in favor of getting rid of Osama bin Laden, and you're willing to violate the United Nations Charter in the process, then as long as we're going on over there to Pakistan to get Osama, let's do a little stop off to, like grocery shopping. I gotta stop off here and pick something up. Oh, yeah, who? Hussein. We'll get him, and then on we go. What difference does it make? You want to get Osama bin Laden? We took a big step toward getting his ass by getting this guy. Yeah, how do you figure that, Phil? Because every freaking terrorist on the planet is on notice. On notice. And if you don't think they know it, I please, go back to sleep. So Howard Dean lost Iowa, not because he's squeaking like he saw a mouse, but because the guy, he lost before he squeaked like a mouse. You understand that? The truth about that cat, and I told you guys 3 months ago that I was a blithering idiot. I told you he was a blithering idiot. I told you not to take this cat serious. Guy's done. And he's done because his message, while it resonates with some people, and they're very vocal and they're very excited and they're very anti-Iraq and they're very anti-war and they wish it was 1968 and they wish they were sitting in the president's office there at Columbia drinking his brandy and they wish they had a Peter Max American flag stenciled on their face and they just wish. But it ain't going to happen, okay? Those people, they can have Dean, man. The mainstream of Democrats, they don't want him. They don't need him. His message doesn't resonate. The guy is like, forget it, okay? I'm sure he's a fine doctor. He's probably a very good husband. He's probably a nice guy. I actually admired some of the comments he made today. It was very funny. Some very self-effacing things that the man said about his screaming. He's, I thought he was rather charming the way he explained it all, but the fact remains the guy is through. He's through. And that includes Clark, and it includes that other fruitcake. What's that guy's name? Edwards, that guy. Yeah, okay, sure, kid. Kerry's the guy. Kerry's the only guy. It'll be another mistake that my party makes nominating that clown because he doesn't stand for anything. I think they had a better chance at getting mainstream American votes by getting Lieberman in there. But you know what? Lieberman's a Jew. Who's going to vote for him, right? Right! So Kerry is going to be the nominee. He doesn't stand for a GD thing, as my friend Lloyd Bonafide would say, and he ain't going to win, and it's going to be dull. Well, actually, it'll be a lot of fun watching Bush take him apart at the freaking joints. That'll be interesting. And the only thing Kerry will be able to do is be negative. Come back at what a slob Bush is. He didn't do this right, didn't do that right, didn't do this right, didn't do that right. We'll get sick of it. Kerry can't come. He can't stand on any principle or any platform because he doesn't have one. He has none. He's vague about health care. He's vague about everything. And he's certainly vague about this war on terror. You really think that this guy Kerry is going to, you're going to feel real good putting your country in his hands. He doesn't know whether he's for the war or he's for the occupation or whether we're doing it right or whether we're doing it wrong. There's not a one of these guys that have criticized Bush's war on terror that has come up with any kind of a comprehensive plan on how to secure the country. You understand what I'm talking about? There's no guy out there that has any plan whatsoever that how they do it better than Bush. I know, they'd go to the UN. Ha ha! The UN sure helped this man at 9/11, didn't they? They kept that from happening. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I got to tell you something. If you have a tuna fish sandwich from a takeout joint for lunch and you belch it up 3 hours later and it tastes like industrial cleanser, should you be worried? We'll talk about that next hour with Dr. I'm kidding, but that's exactly what's happened to me. Chris went out, got us some sandwiches, and I got a tuna fish sandwich because I'm trying to drop some weight. Yeah, ha ha. And I just belched it up. I swear to God, I'm tasting janitor in a drum, and I ought to know because, you know, when I'm down on my tequila supply, it ain't a bad thing. It's not a bad go-to brand. It's either that or it's my wife's hairspray, which Kitty Dukakis and I used to have. Oh, never mind. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, news that even pro hockey players can understand. Here is Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm calling because you kept making the claim that John Kerry is A, not a good candidate, and B, not a principled man, and I disagree soundly. His record on, first of all, his record on foreign policy, commitment to working multilaterally, which to say that that's not a good idea is ridiculous.
Well,
no, I mean,
then we disagree.
Sure that we can go in there and we work with the rest of the world.
Well, then we disagree right from the gate. We disagree right from the gate because working multilaterally, which is what we did with the United Nations for a full decade on Saddam Hussein, got us nowhere. And the United Nations ultimately violated its own charter by refusing to act.
Well, going in there cowboy style and working
cowboy
unilaterally
style.
Preemptively was ridiculous.
Really?
Kerry
well,
right
guess what? Do you want to put
it.
Saddam Hussein back in power? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Kerry, on the other hand, has said we should not have gone.
We made Iraq a hotbed for Al Qaeda.
They were there already, ma'am.
We've made a mockery of our relationship with the rest of the world.
No, we haven't. John Kerry has said nothing other than it was a bad idea, but as long as we're there, we're doing it badly. He has nothing proactive to say.
I suggest you look at his website.
What has he said?
I suggest you listen to his 8-point plan.
What has he said?
We need to have the U.S. in charge of a multilateral group to help Iraq get train their own peace-keeping force.
Even though we shouldn't have been there in the first place. Even though we shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Excuse me?
Even though we shouldn't have been there in the first place, now he's the guy that's going to come in with bright ideas on what to do,
okay,
huh?
Well, we're there, Phil. Yeah. We need to deal with it.
It's called a Monday morning quarterback.
We have a record of dealing with other countries.
Guess what?
Like
John Kerry doesn't know how to deal. He doesn't know how to deal with that. He doesn't know how to deal with Iraq.
Better than multilateral. Anybody else, I can guarantee. Are you familiar with what he and John McCain did in Vietnam in 1992?
Doesn't make him a president, ma'am. And Abraham Lincoln had no military experience, and he saved
this
country. Okay, next point.
He's a leader of
Abraham Lincoln had no military experience.
He's a leader of
and John Kerry was also implicated in a war crime.
Incorrect.
He was implicated in a war crime. Wasn't
he?
Yes,
and he's spoken clearly of that, and he regrets it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the man. Is that the man whose military record you just cited?
Excuse me?
Is that the man whose military record you just cited?
Yeah, the man, absolutely, the man with 3 Purple Hearts, a bronze
so he got
star,
shot 3 times.
Star for valor, absolutely, yes.
Okay, and implicated in a war crime. And I already told you that Abraham Lincoln had no military experience and saved this country as you and I know it. So that is a child's argument. Let's move on to something more substantial. It is. It's a child's argument. It really is. Let's move on to something more substantial.
Okay.
Let's talk about this plan, this multilateral plan that he has for Iraq. The only reason why he wants it multilateral is because it's different from George Bush's unilateral.
No, because
John Kerry is suddenly a big fan.
Bill, he believes at working with the various parties involved in a problem. This is an international problem. This is the U.S. created this particular
No, we did not. We solved the problem.
And John Kerry, Phil Mann, also has a plan We're in Iraq because we are dependent on oil. We are gluttons on oil.
You are dependent on oil too, Rebecca. You are dependent on oil, Rebecca. Put that in the first person, please. Aren't you?
Yes, I do drive a car.
There you go.
I have spent most of my career working to promote alternative energy.
Yeah, but you still
sources.
Drive that car. You know Rebecca,
we got
a problem in America, especially with the anti-Iraq people who, you know, think it's a war for oil. They're sucking on that oil nipple.
Point. John Kerry's got a plan to get us off our dependence on Middle Eastern oil within 10 years by investing in clean renewable energy. He's the one who came up with that idea, and all the other candidates are following him.
But let's not drill in Alaska because we don't want to kill caribou, right? We'd rather kill Americans. We'd rather kill Americans, right?
Oh, now that is a child's argument.
No, no, because
we don't need to destroy our
Rebecca, either we drill in Alaska or we have to deal with the politics of the Middle East.
Invest in clean renewable energy.
Hold on for a minute. Until
that
time, though, Rebecca has to suck on that oil nipple like everybody else, and as long as you're doing that, Americans are getting killed in the Middle East long before Iraq. Long before Iraq. They got killed in New York because of your dependence on oil.
You
don't want to take responsibility. It changes when you have to take responsibility.
I am taking responsibility for it because I can tell you that I've worked very hard to pursue policies similar to those that John Kerry, who is a visionary leader, is pursuing, and he is the right man to be president, and I suggest you do a little more homework.
All right, thank you very much, Mrs. Kerry.
Okay.
1-800-44, that was John Kerry's wife. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. I'm joking. She's a nice lady.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we got news that pro hockey players can understand. So if you play professional hockey, stick around. We've got the news for you. Okay, Dopey? I'm kidding around, okay? Just take a joke, okay? I mean, the image of you guys is funny. You don't have any teeth, and you sound stupid as hell. And occasionally you get arrested for beating your wife. So naturally I would have, certain presumptions. But I realize it's wrong to prejudge a man, isn't it? I mean, that's just unfair. But that's what we are on this show, unfair. All right, we'll also have a story about Art Garfunkel getting busted for weed. I guess we might as well talk about, you know who Art Garfunkel is? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. Only people my age and older, and let me repeat that again, my age and older, which I'm 51. Only people my age and older know who he is. He was with another guy named Paul Simon. You know his name because he had a couple of hits there in the 90s and the 80s. And he was in a group called Simon and Garfunkel. And he got arrested for smoking weed in his limousine. I guess it was yesterday because the officer that pulled over the limousine for speeding could smell weed. So, but the funny part of the story, I think, is that the reporter seemed to be shocked that Garfunkel wasn't recognized by the cop. Oh, my God. Don't you understand how life has passed you by, pal? Nobody knows who Art Garfunkel is. No one cares. People barely know who Bill Murray is. I mean, when I went in to see that Lost in Translation, and it's just like everybody is 106, I knew it was done. The Saturday Night Live generation, the original Saturday Night Live generation, was old, baby, old. What makes you think some 25-year-old state trooper in New York is going to know who freaking the White Don King is? Art Garfunkel with the fright wig. The cop actually thought it was Einstein. He thought it was Albert Einstein smoking weed back there, till somebody said, no, he's dead. Oh, okay, well, who else has got the big white fright wig? I know. Harpo Marx. No, he's crook too. Well, I give up. It's either Harpo Marx or Einstein. Try again. Art Garfunkel. Harpo Marx or Einstein. How about Larry Fine? Too Jewish. Next. No, it's just... How many cats have blonde receding afros? And another thing, just... Well, forget it. The afro, though, is like, it's very funny. The younger kids are into afros. And we got a friend of ours, he's a surfer. The guy's like 26. He's got the real kinked out fro going. He's a redhead. He's a redhead, but his dad is black. But he looks more white than black. Anyway, he surfs, and he's got just the total saltwater fro going. Just... So Art Garfunkel's cruising down, fame is a wonderful thing, but when you ain't got it, you ain't got it. And who cares whether they know who the guy is or not? It used to be getting popped for smoking weed was a regular thing, but now on the Just Say No side of the tracks, although the guy's smoking the dope in his own limousine, the cop pulls him over, pulls him out, arrests him, and doesn't know who he is. Of course he's not going to know who he is. Art Garfunkel was the high-voiced guy who sang along with Paul Simon on songs like Bridge Over Troubled Water, okay? You know that guy? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's the guy. You know the vague other guy in the group? I was talking to Janice, like the Beatles. What was the thing I just saw? Oh, yeah, that piece of crap that was treating poor George Harrison when he was dying, that doctor, and made the guy, and don't tell me that he made a deal with, he forced him, come on, Mr. Harrison, you want the pain medicine? Oh, God, please. Then you're going to sign the guitar, aren't you? Come on. Yeah, you're going to, it's a baby. Now we give you the morphine drip. Please give me the morphine. Not until you sign this guitar. That disgusting bastard was sued by the Harrison family. You know, when it comes to the Beatles, just leave them alone. Just leave. The Beatles are almost satire-proof. Because, you know why? Because everything, and I don't mean to sound like an old man now, but you have to understand, everything that we know today, essentially, as hip, originated with them. Yeah, some of it originated with Frank, and a little of it filtered through Elvis, but it just sort of flowered out with the Beatles. So whether it's long hair, dope, Eastern mysticism, Pilates classes, yoga classes, alternative forms of education, vouchers, I mean, you name it, man, facial hair, the Beatles started the whole thing. If you're making fun of them, you might as well make fun of yourself. And now who do we got left of the Beatles? You got it, Ringo and Paul. That's rough. And I don't mean to say anything, but if we had to have two guys left, I would rather be Lennon and Harrison, because those two guys, they actually knew how to play the guitar. I'm kidding. I mean, Paul's a good musician, but all that upbeat Penny Lane stuff, I wanted to just slit my own throat and then slit his. I'm kidding. It's a joke. Please don't have your security people call me. Please don't have the Secret Service call me. So the Beatles, just leave them alone. They were what they were. They kicked ass. I mean, they were an amazing thing, and we should only be that lucky and be that talented and be that phenomenal and be that wealthy and be that popular and be that perfect for the moment. There's not a band that's come since that even comes close. Not Michael Jackson. I've lived through both events, Beatlemania and Jacksonomania and Molestationomania, and they don't compare to Beatlemania. It was like countercultural at its best. Jackson, that whole thing about him is just that people couldn't believe a guy with four holes in his nose could be so good as a singer. I mean, how come there isn't any nasal tone? You know I'm bad. Why don't you just unplug the holes in your nose, Dave? Michael, okay?
Yeah, you know I'm bad. Oh, it does work better.
Yeah. That's cool. And so now we got Ringo, who's on, what is he on? He's on PBS, and Paul, who, he's just Paul. He was on, I think I saw him on the NFL Today with Terry Bradshaw. That was the height of, oh, God. Oh, my God, when I saw those two guys. And then Art Garfunkel getting, it's over. The whole thing's over. Tired old man in a limousine smoking your dope. I don't know why that cat didn't keep acting, man. He did that movie with Jack Nicholson. It was great, called Carnal Knowledge. You want to see a great movie, see that movie. Art Garfunkel was in it. That was it. Anne Margaret, Art Garfunkel, Jack Nicholson. It's a hysterical movie about the whole coming of age of these two idiots, these two friends. Yeah, and Nicholson's got some of the funniest lines in that movie. When he's talking about Anne Margaret. Yeah, he says, when I took a look at the pair on Bobby, I knew I wouldn't be anything other than okay. He goes, I went out with a chick after I broke up with my wife, Bobby. Not a great pair, but a good pair. Almost no ass at all, and that bothered me. It's a great movie. That and Less Detail. Now, there's your Jack Nicholson movies, and all the rest of it you can throw in the river. You can throw in the river along with that Zodiac cat that Eastwood killed in the Dirty Harry. What the hell? What am I saying? I don't care. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, you hockey players, gather around the radio. It's time for the news only you can understand on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And now, the Bud Dickman Production Company presents news that even pro hockey players can understand. From our studios in New York, here now is Bud Dickman.
Thank you very much. Well, it's official. Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck are not boyfriend anymore. Sources report. Do you remember the guy that was in Good Will Hunting and Pearl Harbor? He's the guy that girl that was in the cell, and everybody thinks her butt's huge, but it's not as big as one I seen the other day. A lady got out of a car with her daughter. They went into Spud Nuts out in Oxnard. Their butts were, I believe, if I'm being, I don't want to, don't quote me, but I think they were larger. Anyway, the girl from that movie and that guy from the Pearl Necklace? They're not going to get married. That's according to what I'm reading, the paper I have here in my...
Now more news that only pro hockey players can understand with Bud Dickman.
Do you know about the man that sounded stupid after he lost his election in Chicago or in Iowa? Yeah. Yeah, that man... His name's Howard Dean, and when he lost, he went, something gay, and now they say he better not run no more because people think he's gay.
Now more news that pro hockey players can understand, Bob Dickman.
Do you remember when they said there was a robot on Mars that we blasted offed from the Earth to? It's broken. It's broken. They say it's broken. The Mars robot that got blasted off from the Earth is on the Mars. They had pictures, and I saw a few of them. Mars looks just like near where my grandparents live in Indian Wells, except there's no telephone poles, and there's also a sign for a date-shaped place on the way to India, but otherwise, Mars looks very, very much like where the windmills are in Banning. Anyway, it's broken. The robots broke it, and they don't know when they'll be able to get it to send back more pictures. But if they're just of a place that looks like Thermal California, what difference does that make? It's stupid!
All right, now wait a minute. Are you crying?
Yes!
Well, why are you crying? Why don't you do your editorial here? It always makes you feel better.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I don't know what you're crying about. And now a Bud Dickman editorial.
I just think going to Mars was the stupidest thing we could have did. All they sent back were pictures and everything's pink. And how gay is that? Oh, I don't know. God! God! We go to Mars, they send back pictures, they're pink. Is it a gay trip to space? I guess! I told all of my friends and everything.
Jesus. This has been a Bud Dickman editorial comment. Now more news.
Lopez and Jennifer Affleck are getting a divorce.
I already read that.
All right. Some old man named Art Garbuncle was arrested for having pot. If you ask me, he looks like a guy that is sitting behind the desk at a flop house in New York or something. He's got frizzy hair and a scary face, and they say he sang. Whatever. In other news, I don't know.
This has been news only hockey players can understand with Bud Dickman from our studios in New York. A presentation of NBC News, responsible solely for its content. You all right?
No.
All right, well, take a week off, okay?
I usually do. I only dud it once a week.
You only dud it once a week? I didn't know you felt so strongly about the Mars mission.
Well, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard about. Oh, here's some pictures of a... It looks just like where... You know where Graham and Papa live? You know...
No, man, I don't know where Graham and Papa live. Who the hell are you talking, your grandparents?
Yeah.
What about them?
They live out in Indian Wells. It looks just like that at the back of their house. Right off the fifth fairway.
Yeah, it's a desert. There's no doubt about that.
I gotta go out and visit them all the time. I hate it out there. It's nothing but old people at these piano bars. God, I hate it so very deeply.
I'm sorry about that, but take the time off, get out of here, and don't bother me. Go ahead.
All right.
Yes?
Every time I listen to you, you're yelling at that retard. Every time.
No, wait a second, man. The guy was doing the news.
I heard it. It was great.
Okay, fine. Then he starts crying about the Mars mission.
Why?
How come, bud?
Because I told you it's dumb.
Well, you're right, bud. It is dumb.
See?
Okay. So I said, don't be so upset about it.
Who are you to tell him how to feel? The kid's got a metal plate in his head. Do you understand? Now, you hired him to do this segment because hockey players can understand him and relate to him. They having, probably most of them having metal plates in their heads. And now you start putting him down because he doesn't like the Mars mission.
I'm not putting him down because he doesn't like the Mars mission. I was simply saying to him, I'm sorry you feel that way.
If we send a rocket to outer space, we should go somewhere good.
What do you think?
Like Uranus.
Oh, that's really adult.
Oh, why'd you loosen up? What a tight ass.
Come on, Henry. Why'd you loosen up and get your balls out of your wife's purse?
Oh, well, that's original. That's very original.
Well, it's true. You can't laugh at that.
Oh, come on. You know how many Uranus jokes I've heard? Please. Why don't we go somewhere cool like Uranus?
That's great. Every time I hear that, I laugh. Good one, bud.
All right, well, anyway, bud, I'm sorry you're feeling that way, and,
Don't take the week off, bud.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else?
Just leave the retard alone. By the way, care about the lady who was, in a coma, and the doctor noticed that maybe she had some movement in a certain part of her body. And he thought maybe if the husband came in and had oral sex with her, she might come out of the coma, right? Because they detected a certain movement in a certain part of the body.
Okay.
So the guy comes in, and suddenly noticed the woman starts to flatline. So the guy comes out, and the doctor goes and realizes that the woman is dead, and the husband goes, maybe she choked.
I don't get it.
Maybe she choked.
Maybe, do you understand?
No.
They said go in, because maybe it's oral sex that she needs, and...
Okay.
Oh, okay. You think I'm a tard?
Jesus, Henry. Are you the host of a comedy show?
Okay, I get it. I'm sorry. Can I move on now?
We should send a rocket to Poopiter.
Where is Poopiter?
You know, it's right next to,
Uranus.
You know, both of you cats... P-I-S-S off. Lord. hey, let's go to Poopiter. Yeah, it's right next to you. How juvenile can you... And then that stupid joke. Maybe she choked. All right, listen, our website is www.philhenryshow.com. Honest to goodness, you go to our website, there's some fantastic stuff there. Our souvenir shop, it's got all kinds of Marvy things like the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse North Pole Polar Fleece Pullover, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Deluxe Barbecue Set, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu Resort Shirt. We also have our Western Estates Polo Shirt. You know, with Valentine's Day coming up, I suggest this. I suggest a really killer arrangement of stargazer lilies, a huge night out, dancing and dinner. Like, I don't know what you consider a huge night out where you live, but, you know, we're at a really cool place. Good meal and, you know, a really classy meal. Bottle or two of champagne, dancing. And then when you get home, present her with the Western Estates Terry Cloth Velour Spa Robe. And you can get that on our website. See? So we take care of your Valentine's Day gift giving. You take care of all the rest of the stuff, but, you know, we got a couple of things there for you. So go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Also, pick up our Best of the Year 2003 CD, The Death of Talk Radio. You can buy it online or call 1-877-616-7445. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Yesterday we had Brad Villanueva, a young man who is a waiter and busboy at the Surrey Steakhouse chain and was fired by that chain because he was harassing customers into finishing their food. He didn't want them leaving full plates on the on their tables. And if they did, he wouldn't bust them off the table. And if they continued to leave them full, he would sit down and lecture them on how hungry people in Mexico survive. And anyway, people told him to screw off and the company fired him. But he claims it was racism. You want to hear more? Here he is, Brass.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
You have no right suing for discrimination when you're throwing around racial slurs like that.
What did I say?
You're calling people Yankee South.
That's not race. That's nationality.
Okay, regardless, that's discrimination.
See that, No, it's not.
Secondly, you
need
you
to look up the law. I know the law.
Okay, secondly, you have no right setting rules for restaurants unless it's your own restaurant and people know what they're going into.
Well, what right do you have to leave
living
food
in America is being able to work for your buck and order whatever you want to. If you want to put it in the middle of the park and feed it to the ducks, go for it.
Yeah, but I know more about the law than you do, and
that has nothing to
you
do
don't
with
know
the
about
point
the
you're
law.
Trying to make.
What?
You're trying to make a point that people need to not order as more than they can eat.
Right.
That has nothing to do with the law. The law doesn't say don't order more food than you can eat. That's what America is all about.
Well,
welcome
see,
to America. Work for your money. Spend it any way you want.
Oh, not wasting food because there are a lot of people who are very hungry. I took two pieces of Salisbury steak she left on her plate and also the sour cream on the side, which she asked for extra sour cream. Why would she do that? Why would she do that?
Maybe it sounded good and she didn't like the taste. Bottom line is you did a good deed and that... It's not up to you to decide what people should and shouldn't eat and how much they should and shouldn't eat.
Can I say something, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
That is so typical of a lot of women. I mean, they say that. You know, it sounded good, but I don't like the taste. And they say that about a lot of things. And
that's
right, now look
the luxury we have.
Hold on for a minute, kid. I don't want you getting...
No, I don't mean to be inappropriate, but you hear that so often, you know?
Yeah, you know something? I know what you're getting at, and you're talking to a lady, okay?
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
That's the luxury we have of living in America. We can order whatever we want and not have to finish it. I mean,
you know how many people
that's why we have trash.
Right, but you know how many Mexican people would have liked that sour cream?
And I'm sure Ethiopian kids would like it too, but they're not here. That's not the fact that we're trying to make. The point is you can't work somewhere under somebody else and harass customers about them not eating enough. They ate their fill. If there's some leftover.
Can I ask you something?
Ask away.
Have you ever said that before? You know, it sounded good, but I didn't like the taste?
Absolutely. I think I did it today, as a matter of fact.
Was your husband there, or...
Okay, see, this is what I mean. You're being a smart-ass kid.
No, but I break the ice with people with humor.
Yeah, but that's not funny.
That's not funny at all. I mean, okay, so that's not what you believe in. Well, you're not the one ordering it. If I go to Burger King and I order three hamburgers and throw them into the park for ducks to eat, that's my prerogative. It's my money. I'm spending it the way I want
to. But are you the kind of woman?
I work hard to earn it.
Are you the kind of woman that'll tease a man by saying it sounds good, but then you don't like the taste?
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
There he is. Brass. You know, I'm on a website here for John Kerry. Because I really want to know. I really want to. What is his plan, for instance? He's got these things. This is Homeland Security. Okay. A national Defend America initiative, a new First Defenders initiative to assure local responders are equipped and ready, bringing 21st century information technology to the war on terror, reforming domestic intelligence, a national homeland health initiative, defending our sky, sea, and land. Ah, that's what I want to see. Currently, 95% of all non-North American U.S. trade moves by sea, concentrated mostly in a handful of ports. Every day we import millions of cargo. Improve port security. The Maritime Transportation Act of 2002, which primarily focused on the physical security of ports, is essentially an unfundable mandate. Kerry believes we need to develop standards for security at loading facilities for containers and assure facilities can meet basic standards. He also believes America should be researching and developing containers that will be technologically transparent, capable of being inspected instantly by detection and identification equipment. Technology could also improve accuracy.
What?
Secure bridges and tunnels. Only five major bridges and one tunnel link Ontario to Michigan and New York and account for 70% of all the trade between the U.S. and Canada. To improve security on this thing, Kerry believes we should accelerate the timetable for the action plans agreed to in the U.S.-Canada Smart Border Accords. America should also work with Canada to implement adequate security measures for cross-border bridges and... Okay, I mean... All right. Gee, that's really different from what Bush is doing. Really, radically. Protect private infrastructure. At least three-quarters of the country's major infrastructure in private hands. However, if even one large facility is hit with a biological agent, yeah, okay. Like the World Trade Center, okay. The economy could also take a huge hit. We get that, man. We went through 2001, 9/11. Okay, so what's the thing? The Bush administration says we should leave it to big businesses to make these security improvements themselves, even though they are unlikely to make real changes. Others might want to mandate protective measures. John Kerry believes... Now, what John Kerry believes takes up about five lines of this, and what Bush is doing wrong takes up about 53 lines. John Kerry believes... What John Kerry believes should work to develop modest, minimal safety standards for certain kinds of industry and infrastructure, look at requiring private terrorism insurance, and helping owners find economical ways to improve security. So the owners that are improving the security, John Kerry would help them improve security by looking at ways to do that. But he ain't know what they are yet. And as far as the terrorism insurance goes... Bush was talking about freaking terrorism insurance. Talk to the insurance companies. This guy ain't got one original, just like I said, nothing. Cat's saying nothing. Okay, you could go back. I invite you to go to this guy's website, John Kerry for President. He's got John Kerry on the issues, AIDS, children, civil rights. Cool, man. But when you get down to reading it, he spends most of his time talking about what Bush did wrong and about five lines on what he'd do. Like, for instance, defending the American homeland. Three paragraphs of what America should do. It's all obvious crap. Do you think we should be more secure? Yes. John Kerry believes we should be more secure. Why America should be... Okay. Then it says, read his full plan. Click here. Then I click there. Then I got nine... Oh, brother. Another thing, man, I'm not going to get jived into thinking just because this guy's a veteran that he is the man for me. There's a lot of veterans. There were a lot of guys that were not veterans that were presidents and damn good ones. I mentioned Abraham Lincoln, but nobody seems to give a crap about him. How about Franklin Roosevelt? I don't think he was in the military unless they were taking guys on walkers. Unless they were taking guys wheeling themselves on board. Pretty damn good. What is this? He had military experience. So Kerry's got military experience. Fine. So John McCain, how come he ain't president? So Al Gore, how come he ain't president? Maybe because John McCain is cuckoo and Al Gore is even cuckooier. Wesley Clark, he's got military experience. I wouldn't vote for that guy to be the hall monitor at my kid's school. So what's the John Kerry thing? You know, go talk to a third grade class, okay? What does this guy believe? He hasn't got a plan, folks. He's got a plan that is contrary to whatever Bush's plan is. Bush is unilateral? Aha! Let's jump on the multilateral. Well, what does that mean? Working with other countries. You know, we worked with other countries in Somalia. Yeah, that got us a long way. We should be working with other countries under American guidance. How long do you think that should take? How long do you think it'll take before we get a multilateral force in Iraq, for instance, right? Haven't we invited other countries in? We already know where the French and the Germans stand. Should we apologize and get them in? We got Polish in there. I think it's multilateral enough. We got the Spanish, the Polish, the Italians, the Japanese are in there. That's all we need. Thank you very much, by the way, Chris. When I wanted to think of what the other country was, Chris pulled his eyes back as in slant-eyed. Oh, yeah, Japanese. Thanks a lot, Chris. So, you know, I mean, what? It's multilateral enough. I'm going to say it again. Running for president as a Democrat, in my opinion, should take more than just being anti-Bush. It should be about a Democratic platform, a real set of beliefs and principles that I think personally in this century can be based upon Franklin Roosevelt, John Kennedy. I think those are two damn good Democratic presidents that we can use as the guiding founding fathers of the modern Democratic Party. These are both men, especially in Roosevelt's case, who were able to put together government energy and private sector energy to accomplish enormous good, not only for the welfare of our country in terms of security, but also in terms of the civil rights and civil liberties of people. Democratic Party can show the way on how government doesn't have to intrude on the success of people in this country, but can partner in on it. But no, we don't do that in our party. What we do is we just stand for whatever Bush is against. So whatever Bush likes, we come up with some cockamamie, thrown together Frankenstein of an idea that's against him. Alternative forms of fuel that we can develop in 10 years. We have Americans dying in the Middle East as a result of our drilling for oil in the Middle East. We have become dependent upon it over the last 65 years. You develop relationships, by the way, in business when you're drilling oil in someone's land. Yeah, that's right. Is the Bush family friendly with the Saudis? You would be, too, if your primary business was oil and the American people depended upon it. And even people who seem to be against so-called drilling for oil in Alaska, man, they aren't against putting it in their own car and driving around with it. So that's why we're in the Middle East. It's not because Iraq Americans are dying. Americans have been dying in that part of the world for a long time because of the interest we have in its oil. Are we bad people? Are we wrong? Should we never have been there? Was it a big mistake? Yeah, well, you know, at the time it seemed like a good idea, and everybody seems to think the idea is good enough to keep on using it. Now everybody's got the big, fat, bright idea, ever since 9/11, that we should not be in the Middle East for oil. Oh, really? Is that right? Well, what about the Gulf War? We knew then it was a war for oil. The Gulf War, war for oil, nobody's ever been able to prove that yet. And even if it was a war for oil, what's wrong with that? That's precisely, perhaps the single greatest ingredient to America's physical success, at least, oil. You don't have it, you die. This country dies. So what's wrong with going to war for oil? Somebody ought to give me a reason why it's bad to go to war for oil. Well, it's on somebody else's property. Well, hey, man, we've been drilling the oil out of there for a long time. They ought to get by now that the success of our economy is highly driven by our dependence upon oil. If those dudes don't think that cutting off our oil or somehow affecting our oil supply isn't going to get American troops moving, then they, you know, I got swampland, I got a bridge, I got some oil wells they can buy down here in Signal Hill. Of course there's wars for oil. What the hell do you think wars are fought for? They're fought for resources, they're fought for people, they're fought to get a leg up, if you'll pardon the expression, in this world. They are fought to get a little, negotiating room. They're fought to get a little position for the American people, you know, trying to get ourselves to keep ourselves secure for the next 100 years. For somebody else, there might be another reason. Do we have a right to go into somebody else's country and tell them what to do? as a country that, by and large, is morally superior to just about every other country on Earth. I can't see any other country that would have that right other than us. And the fact of the matter is, when it comes to oil, everybody uses it, everybody sucks on it, everybody in this country's got their lips wrapped around the oil nipple. So what's all of a sudden this big uproar about going to war for oil? What, are you feeling guilty about it? Huh? You feel guilty because you got the big SUV. Please. Well, I'm going to get myself one of those electric cars. Yeah, you do that, Swift. You go right ahead. In the meantime, man, we'll make sure those caribou are nice and safe up there. And, you know, we'll keep involving ourselves in the diplomacy of the Middle East because there's oil down there. Americans putting themselves at risk. American businesses putting themselves at risk. American interest at risk. But let's not kill those caribou. I'd barbecue every last one of them. Every last one of them, if it meant saving lives, ultimately, in the Middle East. But I guess that's kind of lame. All right, here's our number, 1-800-449-8686. And a lot of times, people can express themselves better via email. So we give out our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. And that's sometimes a good way to get back at me and tell me that I'm just so full of it, you could scream, okay? phs@philhenryshow.com. This is The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Pelton's old man went to Vietnam, got 4 bronze stars. He ain't running for president, and he's in favor of the war in Iraq. So, I don't know. Chris Pelton's old man is in favor of the war in Iraq. He's got 4 bronze stars, did 2 tours. So, I think he's better than Kerry, personally. We're running Pelton's dad. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Which is the better of the two calls, my man? Okay. Gustavo?
Hello?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the show.
All right, thank you. I definitely like your show, man.
What's that?
I definitely like your show.
Thanks.
All right. So let's talk.
Go ahead.
All right. So my point is, you just said that you guys went to Iraq because you guys wanted the oil, right?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of them is the security of a region that we depend on for energy, yeah.
Uh-huh. That's correct. But you guys never used that.
What's that supposed to mean? Are you an American?
No, I'm not. I'm just an international student.
Oh, yeah. You just thought you'd plop your ass down here and have a good time.
No, I'm not having a good time, actually. Yeah.
You're not? Hey, I got a great idea. Why don't you go home?
Oh, I don't want to go home.
No, because the chicks over here are definitely better looking, right?
No, actually, I'm from Brazil. I don't think so.
They got all of their own teeth, at least.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's okay. Correct.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so my point is, you guys didn't use that as a first purpose to go to Iraq. You guys always undercover that you guys went there because you guys want oil. You think that's correct?
What did you say? You said that we went there because we wanted oil.
Yeah, and definitely you guys went there.
We went to Iraq. We went to Iraq because of the interest we have in that region. Our interest in that region is for political stability. Why? Because, yes, one of the reasons we have to secure energy interests. The political stability of the Middle East right now is non-existent, particularly with regard to its relationship with our country. They are hostile to our country. They also harbor organizations that have criminals who want to harm our citizens. So it's not a friendly area of the world, and it also has a huge resource of energy for us. So we did have to go there, and we did have to, in the case of Saddam Hussein, neutralize his ass and put some anchors down there.
Uh-huh. Oh, I think about Saddam Hussein, you guys are definitely right. That guy is just a tyrant.
Why are we right there and nowhere else?
Yeah, that's correct. He's supposed to be in the jail, man, for the rest of his life. Yeah. And I think he's going to be there for the rest of his life.
Well, hopefully they'll drag him behind a truck.
Yeah, hopefully.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so, thanks a lot. See you later. Jesus, give me a guy that, I can't understand a thing the guy was saying. I should have taken the American. I mean, I got nothing against foreigners, but why don't you just sit back and listen, okay? No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I couldn't make head and tail out of that guy's call. All right. Thank you very much for listening. 1-800-449-8686. As I check off the air tonight, I'm looking up at a Wesley Clark trying to look presidential, and I see just a little bit of Budweiser foam on the left edge of his mouth. So you're not kidding anybody, Wesley. You very quickly downed a tall boy of Bud and then ran out onto the stage for the debate. 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.